show, we pray. Heavenly Father, again, we want to express our appreciation, our gratitude, Lord, for giving us a part in the message of this last day, this last hour, Lord. Surely it has been good for us, Father. It's illumined our hearts and our minds and given us an understanding of real salvation and how the blood is applied and what the sacrifice is. All of these things, Lord, make us to know your word is so correct that though you love the world, your own cosmos and all cosmos, that you gave your only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but everlasting life. And you brought him, we might have condemnation, yet there is condemnation because men love darkness rather than light. And Father, we know that we are in the light, we're believing it, and we know therefore the blood applies to us in all of its aspects, all of its views, Lord, and we're so grateful for it. Help us, Lord, to understand more of you and your ways this morning. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now, in the last two messages on fountains, we dwelt on the shedding of the blood of the Lamb, particularly as it typed its present-day efficacy to us. And we were using particularly, as we said last night, Zechariah 13:1, which mentions that the fountain had been opened in the house unto the house of David for sin and uncleanness and for the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Definitely letting us know that this particular fountain opened was for the benefit of us in order to stand redeemed and free before Almighty God. And as we took that, we took it to the time of Moses in the Exodus, where we saw the blood was not applied to the mercy seat. It was applied to the lintels and to the doorpost. And it was particularly given to the firstborn. And you'll notice that Adam was the firstborn of God in the sense of the human race, because he is the Son of God. The Bible tells us that distinctly, that we make no mistake about it. We have our lineage in him. He was the firstborn of God. No, right away the blood was shed for him in order that he might have a communion. But you notice he wasn't able to go to the tree of life and receive immortality. He couldn't come and get a part of the resurrection at that time. Then we see Jesus, the only begotten Son of God, and he's the firstborn in the other sense of the word, because he was before time. He was before beginnings. The Bible teaches that. Brother Branham concurred absolutely by divine revelation with John 17, lest people would deny that Jesus was the Son of God and had a pre-existence. We can't explain all these things, but we know it. And this only begotten, which means born in a certain way that no other son was ever born in or ever will be. He was the firstborn one, and he died upon Calvary, shedding his blood in order that we could become like a first fruit unto him. So we have then a bride, as we found in the book of Hebrews. We read it last night. Unto the church of the firstborn, the assembly of God, the new Jerusalem, all of those things. And we see then that the blood has a special application for us. We're getting out of here, brother, sister. And we know the application is special because we've got vindication. The pillar of fire is leading us, the same as in that day, guaranteeing the presence of Almighty God. Now, that's what we looked at last night. And I don't know if you caught it, because I know some things I said very rapidly and went over scripture, you might not have gotten it. But I want you to understand that and put yourself in the position. Realize that you are one nation under God, coming out of Babylon, a kingdom of priests and kings under God. The blood of Jesus Christ protecting us, the pillar of fire leading us. These things we understand, we know that they are true, because we have passed from faith, right past hope, into knowledge, which comes under love. God absolutely giving us a scientific knowledge. As Brother Branham said, science proves it. Of course, science so-called laughs. They're not interested, but we are. So, all right. In the two messages we dwelt on that, the fountain open unto the house of David for sin and uncleanness. But then we found over in Psalm 36 and 9 and two places in Jeremiah where the scripture says, for with thee is the fountain of life. And is speaking here in a different term, I believe, entirely. And Jeremiah, it says the same thing where it says, they have forsaken me, the fountain of living water, and have hewed them out cisterns, which even the cisterns are broken. They have nothing of value to them. So here we find God declaring himself that he is the fountain of life and brings us to see, therefore, that salvation is not actually of God so much as it is God himself intervening himself for sinners, and he alone is Savior. So therefore, you must have him before you have salvation. You cannot simply say that I am looking at salvation as a derivative. That is horrible. You can't do that. You are looking at salvation. It lies in a person, which is in the person of God himself. So then we say here that salvation is not actually of the Lord so much as salvation is the Lord, and he is intervening himself. That's what the scripture actually says, that he interposed himself, and he does interpose himself on the behalf of sinners because he's the only Savior there is. And if he doesn't do it, how's it going to be done? Because he's the only one that can do it. It's a person. He alone is called Jehovah. See? Manifesting every facet of redemption. Not only delivering his sons from servitude, but eventually positioning them in thrones of the highest government with dominion over the cosmos of God as God inspires them and empowers them. This, of course, is the new Jerusalem in the new heavens and the new earth with the Lamb on the throne and the pillar of fire above the throne. And you notice we keep repeating that because you must become aware of it. I must become aware of it. That's the benefit of coming to church. That's the benefit of talking in your homes. That's the benefit of talking to each other until you get carried away with that, that the life of it begins to take over. Now you think it doesn't work. Let me tell you, nothing else does work because God is in his word and his word must be in the vessel. I don't want to yell and shout. Last night I wasn't really bawling yet. I was just making some very heavy statements because I'm that kind of a preacher. And I say it for myself maybe more than I do for you. Because, hey, I want to get out of here and I want to go there. I want to be a part of it. And I say, well, if you want to tag along, fine. I've got to get there somehow. And it's no longer a part of my own mind, my own body, my own emotions. It's, did God mean it or didn't he mean it? Now we got the proof of it. See, it's out of our hands. I stand with Brother Branham, absolutely categorical. If we're not bride, there's a bride out there somewhere. There's something that answered back to Reverend William Branham, prophet of God. Amen. You can say what you want. You see, why do you get vehement? Because it's the same spirit the prophet had. The same vehement spirit. Knowing something is there, you can't explain it. But something is there, and you can believe it. Absolutely. Now, just let us think of what a fountain is to begin with. A fountain is definitely not of itself and by itself a prime source. In other words, a fountain is a fountain because it's simply, it's a fountain, and that's all there is. It is not a prime factor, a prime force. Without a reservoir of water and attendant conditions, there would be no fountain. For a fountain is a flow of water which rises from the depth of the earth by a force greater than gravity and by certain regulatory or limiting encasements that causes it to surface rather than dissipate below the ground. Now that's what a fountain is. And you can say what you want, but that's the truth. A fountain of itself, you don't look at it as a prime source. You've got to go beyond it. What's behind it? And what's behind it is a reservoir of water. And it's coming up through the earth, and certain factors cause it to come forth above the earth so that it doesn't dissipate below the surface thereof. Then if God calls himself a fountain of life, and we apply to God what we see in nature, which we can do according to Romans 1:19-20, God can be seen in nature. And according to Brother Branham, he said the same thing. We can safely say that the vast ocean life God is restricted to a certain limited path, to a certain exact location, and by its own power and authority comes to a position of availability or manifested flow that gives whoever is there the opportunity to recognize what it encounters and receive it. While on the other hand, that which is without a choice, which is the other Zoe of God, all the rest of it in nature, apart from mankind, receives it sovereignly of God, whether it wants to or not. Do you understand what I read? You want me to read it again? Huh? Okay, let me read it again, because all these are written down very carefully. Let me start at the beginning. A fountain is definitely not of itself and by itself a prime source. Without a reservoir of water and attending conditions or some extraneous factor which is necessarily there, limitations, call it whatever you want, conduit, there would be no fountain, for a fountain is a flow of water which rises from the depth of the earth by a force greater than gravity, and by certain regulatory or binding encasements causes it to surface rather than dissipate itself below the ground. All right, then if God calls himself a fountain of life, we apply to God what we see in nature, we are entitled to do so by the Apostle Paul and the prophet William Branham. We can safely say that the vast ocean God life is restricted to a certain limited path, to a certain exact location, and by its own power and authority comes to a position of availability or manifested flow that gives whatever is there the opportunity to recognize what it encounters and receive it. And that's the human race. While on the other hand, that which is without choice, which is the rest of nature, animals don't have a choice. The trees and the birds don't have a choice. The rocks and all these things don't have a choice, which is called the Zoe, apart from humanity. Receive it by the sovereignty of God, whether it wants it or not. And that's the scripture, because all nature is waiting upon man, who alone has the choice to recognize and to avail itself of what is available. Now, with this in mind, we must be careful to see that a fountain is water coming up from below the earth and surfacing on the earth. Thus, we see God, the creator and maintainer of the heavens and earth and all that is therein, himself, coming up through the earth to give the water of life to our lives, even to all the rest of the universe. Now, look what it says over here in the book of Romans, and we read it many, many times. It's in the 8th chapter. And in the 8th chapter, it says in verse 14, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." We're talking of a fountain of life. Because the 8th chapter starts out saying, "Therefore there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ has made me free from the law of sin and death." We're talking now about the fountain. "For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but we have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Father, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit, we're the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be we suffer him, we may be glorified together." Now, you can leave that little part out there if you want the last part, because although that is true, you can suffer and still not be a child of God. The big thing is to be a child of God. We'll talk about it later. "For I reckon the sufferings of present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us." Not just to us, but in us. "For the earnest expectation of creation waits for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creation was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope." You see right there, everybody but man, nobody but man had a choice. Everybody else was subjected to a sovereignty which was at the discretion of God and purely given by God, whether it wanted or not, and depending on man to lead the way. Now, because Christ himself shall also be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the liberty of the glory of the children of God, for we know that the whole creation groans and travails in pain together to now, and not only they, but ourselves also. And hey, we've got the first fruit of the Spirit. We're the firstborn. We've got the blood on the doorpost and the lintels. Here we are absolutely walking into first fruit, like Jesus Christ, and we're groaning more than we ever groaned. You know why? Because nature's given way. There's nothing left in nature. You know why you're having a hard time? I'll tell you, but it's also a good time. Brother Branham said, listen, he said, there's nothing left in the earth out there. Therefore, if your bodies are turning to mush, what about your brains? Then for God's sake, you haven't got a brain worth listening to. Get it out of the way. Bunch of stupid mush heads. But you're not stupid enough yet to rely fully on God, and neither am I. I'm not pointing fingers at you. I'm just trying to get you to perk up and understand we're all in the same boat. I'm not preaching to you as though I got something different. I'm just preaching the truth in a way, hoping it'll catch fire in somebody, that if I miss it, at least you won't. And I came up on the second resurrection saying I helped the sheep. Right? Listen, brother, sister, it's the truth. Our minds don't need to get in the way any longer to ponder anything, but by sheer din to face in my mind, it was a plug nickel anyway. That's what Abraham got. He was so old, and Sarah so old, he could hardly think anymore. Yeah, he wasn't like Moses, 120 years old, living the way Moses lived. God didn't say that about Abraham. Now, sir, Abraham didn't have it. But you know what? He could believe God. Sarah got the stumbles knocked out of her brains, too. She began reasoning. She said, how in the world? I got a baby. Shut up, stupid. God said so. You mean God said so? Was that God? Abraham, was that God? Brother Branham, was that God? Better watch it. She laughed. She got rebuked for her laughing. See? Whether nature wants it or not. Now, with this in mind, we must be careful to see that a fountain is water coming up from below the earth and surfacing on the earth. Thus, we see God, the creator and maintainer of the heavens and earth, and all that is therein, himself coming up through the earth to give the water of life to our lives, even as we showed here the entire universe. Now, it is evident. But nevertheless, you say it's evident, but nevertheless, we're going to make a note that a fountain of water is exactly the same in quality as the body of water itself and will continue to flow as long as the body of water lasts and the vital conditions that make in a fountain continue. It is also true that the water must be compatible with what is there to receive it. Let's find out if it's compatible. Revelation 21. And 1-7, I saw a new heavens and new earth. The first heaven and the first earth were passed away. There was no more sea. And I, John, saw a holy city, new Jerusalem, coming down. God in heaven prepared as a bride adorned for husband. Heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And behold, and he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. He said to me, write, for these words are true and faithful. He said, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of water of life freely. He that overcomes shall inherit all things, and I'll be his God, and he shall be my son. 9:11. And there came unto me one of the seven angels, had the seven vials full of the last seven last place, taught me, saying, come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. He carried me away in the spirit of the great and high mountain, showed me the great city, holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. And her light was as a stone, light her light was like unto a stone most precious, and so on, and right into 22 and 27, I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb of the temple of it. This is not the millennium now. And the city had no need of the sun, neither the moon to shine, and for the glory of God did lighten, and the Lamb was the light thereof, and the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth shall bring their glory into it, and the gates of it shall not be shut all at all by day, for there shall be no night there, and they shall bring their glory and honor of the nations into it. There shall in no wise enter into anything that defiles, neither whatsoever work of the abomination make a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Continuing, he showed me a river, pure river of water of life. That's the source, a fountain. Underground river, coming up now through the earth. Clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, neither side of the earth, where was a tree of life, which bare 12 manner fruits, and yielded fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were the heathen nations. Now listen, remember, you can drink, and when you get there, there's a tree of life over it. That's the water, God the great ocean. Now, this is the epitomization of the fountain which I read here. You're looking at the epitomization, the compatibility. You're looking at the quality. There is no difference. None whatever. The great ocean of God's life is no different from the little bit of life that you and I get. No different here to there. But notice the responding to it under the conditions and the times. So there we see the fountain of which we're talking. And God's ultimate for those who drink of the fountain. Now, we'll just pass over the principles. We won't talk too much about them. We'll just mention for this minute and then cover them. Number one, it's coming up through the earth, which includes becoming flesh, God in the prophets, God in the Word, thereby in the bride and joined to the bride. Number two, compatibility. Three, total redemption. Four, God present as a fountain of light, as a location, manifestation, offices, the fountain deserted, and now nothing but broken cisterns. Number one, now that was just rapidly. We're going to try to cover some of these points at least. Number one, we consider first the water coming up through the earth by its prescribed channels. Instantly we know that this is not to be received as the role of the Creator. No. The one giving life or begetting. The great source. But rather the role of the sustainer who is making sure that the life once given is not in vain, but comes into the full purpose of Almighty God. We read about it. You understand what I said? You're looking at sustenance. You're not looking at creation. A fountain is not created. The fountain comes from what is already created. And what is already there under certain conditions. And then it brings forth life. So that's what you're looking at. That this is a fact, that this is sustainer, not creator, is proven that boiled water poured on a piece of baked soil in a sterile bottle brings forth nothing and changes actually nothing. It doesn't. But you could take that same boiled water, let it cool, and you can pour it on a plant that's living. It'll help it. Through the osmotic process, it's able to bring in into itself that it couldn't do without that water. So we're not talking now about creation. We're talking about not pre-creation, but post. Thus, the fountain of life is basically Jehovah, not Elohim or El Elah. Now we're dealing with roles and titles. One God, many roles, many titles. One God doing many things, but always in an exact and perfect pattern, so that Alpha is Omega. Never forget it. Thus, the fountain of life is basically, positively Jehovah. And remember, that God spoke to Moses and said, I'm going to make known a name by which I was not known previously, and it was Jehovah, and God did not tell a lie, though he declared to Abraham century before, I am Jehovah Jireh. As the students correctly say, and I believe they're right, and Brother Branham did not make comment, that when God revealed to Abraham his title Jehovah, he was speaking to an individual. But when he spoke to Moses, he was speaking to a nation. And thereby, just before the Exodus, the name of God was brought back to remembrance and true revelation, that it may manifest as the great sustainer of the people, the begetter, the sustainer, bringing them into the promised land. So let's look at Jehovah's titles. There are eight, though even Brother Branham said there were only seven. It seems that all students say there's only seven, but that is not really correct. There are eight. And we'll tell you about them. Jehovah Shammah, the Lord ever-present, is found in Ezekiel 48 and 35. You can read these yourself. Jehovah Tzidkenu, the Lord our righteousness, Jeremiah 23, 5 to 6. Jehovah Rohi, the Lord our shepherd, in Psalm 23. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord our peace, in Judges 6, 24. Jehovah Makadish, which is the one they miss, the Lord who sanctifies. Right. Leviticus 20 and 8. Jehovah Nisi, the Lord our victor, in Exodus 17 and 15. Jehovah Rophe, the Lord our healer, as in Exodus 15, 22 to 26. And Jehovah Jireh, of which Brother Branham preached two complete series, one in Louisville, Mississippi, and the other out there in Grass Valley in California. The Lord our provider, Genesis 22 and 17. Not one thing to do with creation, but everything to do with sustaining. And remember, Colossians tells us that Jesus both created and maintained. Now then, herein, by these title roles, we see the Creator Father standing with and for His children. That's true predestination, brother, sister. True predestination. Standing with and for His children in an everlasting covenant. Yes, in an everlasting covenant, which according to the Scripture is by blood. I believe it's right over here in the book of Hebrews, the 13th chapter, and in verse 20. And now the God of peace, Shalom, that brought again from the dead the victorious one, our Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect. There you see several titles right in one scripture. Everyone referring to God in His relationship of doing for His own, in order to position them and Himself thereby and therein, manifesting what lies within Him, bringing out His Godhood, as Irenaeus said it so perfectly. God being a Savior, it was necessary to predestinate a sinner who'd require salvation in order to give Himself a purpose and reason of being. Oh, we don't like that. Let's face it. Why didn't God do so-and-so? We whimper too much instead of rising to the occasion that we are the vessels whereby God can manifest Himself. Living epistles read and known of all men. You say, Brother Vail, if I could get that with you, like you're preaching it, knowing that Brother Branham did have it, we know that, I'd come together more often. Then why don't you? Yeah. Say, well, at your age, that's all you got left. That's right. That's all I got left. That's all I want. But the Bible says, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, lest the evil years draw nigh. And you say, I had no pleasure in that. But you can have pleasure in this. I don't understand people. They'll do everything but find a place for the Word of God. They'll do everything they can to stay away from it. I'm happier this morning than I've been all day, last night, and all today. And I had maybe 20 minutes of sleep last night. What did you have? And I'm not saying I'm sacrificing a thing. It's a joy to be here. And I'm so happy to have you. Look at you. I've got someone to preach to. And someone pulling something out and explaining, oh, there's God in this place. Somehow, somewhere in this word, in vessels that are sanctified to Him by a sanctifying word, by the sanctifying blood, by a sanctifying God. What more does a person want? It tells us the blood of the everlasting covenant. Absolutely. Now, this fulfills, of course, as we go back to John. In the beginning was the Word is with God, and the Word was God, the same as in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life. Now, it doesn't say He is the life. It says in Him was life, as well as the fact that He is the life. Now, you don't say a living thing's got life. If a thing is living, it does have life. So you're looking at something here that's a little bit different. See? In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. Now, what is light? That which makes manifest. God had within Him the ability to make Himself manifest for His people, like the water coming out of the ground at the exact location, the right place, doing the right thing, which was the fountain. Exactly what it is. The light shines in darkness. The darkness can't comprehend it. And in verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. God Himself, the great Creator, becoming a part of creation, which He absolutely was. Then over here in the book of Luke, the first chapter, and verses 26 to 37, we find the angel of God, the Gabriel, coming to Mary, and he said, blessed art thou amongst women. And he said, you're good. The fruit of your womb is good. You're going to be a child called Jesus. He'll be the Son of the Most High, and so on and so on. And she said, how's this thing going to be? I don't know, ma'am. He said, the Holy Ghost is going to come upon you. Exactly what he said here. Then right down in verse 37, for with God being present. Now listen, God being present meant an exodus from heaven, coming right down here and mingling with men, creating the sperm and the egg in the womb of Mary to bring forth a child who would be the great Redeemer. And right today, God being present, there's a picture right there. You can say what you want about it. That's scientific. Something caught the camera's lens. It was a light. The very thing Brother Branham kept talking about proved absolutely scientifically there it was. With God being present, every single thing is possible. All the sustaining grace and power of Almighty God. What was He doing? Jehovah was coming up through the earth. And in the prescribed channels, as it says in Luke 8-11. Let's go look at it. 2:8-11. And there was in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. The glory of the Lord shone round about them. They were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. The Lion, the tribe of Judah. Absolutely. Over here to John. Chapter 1. 29-34. The next day, John sees Jesus coming and said, behold, the Lamb of God which takes with us in the world. This is He for whom I said, after me comes a man which is preferred before me, before he was before me. What did he say he was? Did he call him God or did he call him a man? Where are you Trinitarians sitting now? One meeting between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, they can't even read. The Trinitarians can't even read. The God of this world has blinded their eyes, blinded them, numbed their minds. Led them right into idolatry. How we ought to thank God every morning, every night, and all the minutes in between. We've been allowed out of Babylon, out of the pits of hell. We're no longer like the noble 500 riding their death at some command or some stupid officer that gave a wrong command. 500 were the cannons on both sides raking, volleying, and thundering at them. Oh, they can ride boldly and well, but they're riding straight into the jaws of death, into the gates of hell. That's where they're riding. We're not with that crowd, brother, sister. How do I know their destiny is death, but ours isn't? You can say what you want. But it's the truth what I'm preaching by the word of Almighty God. Yes, sir. He is a man, and I knew him not, but he that should be made manifest to Israel. The great source of water coming up to a fountain, manifested. That which makes manifest is light. Right? Men won't come to the light. They won't come to what is manifested because it blows to smithereens their Trinitarian doctrines, their dogmas. They won't come to that light. They won't come to any manifestation. They turn it all to one side and blithely declare, well, William Branham, you know, he didn't understand the blessed Holy Trinity. They refuse to admit the sheer fact the Trinity was known in China and it was a slant-eyed virgin and a slant-eyed baby. More than their eyes are slant. It's exactly the truth. John B. Rickett saying, I saw the Spirit descending him like a dove and the boat upon him, and nobody else saw it but John. Any Bible student will tell you that. And why can't you take that? And say you believe God. That's right. God becoming flesh to redeem came up by the same earth that we did. Oh, yes. Hebrews, the second chapter, 14-18. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also likewise took a part, not the whole part. There was no serpent flesh in him. That through death he might destroy him or bring to nothing him which had the power of death, that's the devil, and deliver them through who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage, for verily he took not on him the nature of angels, and verily he didn't become an angel, but he became one with the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto us, his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself suffered being tempted, he is able to help those who are tempted. Wherefore, holy brethren, remember him who came up through the earth, just like you did. Hebrews 5, verse 1, for every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men and things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifice for sins, who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way, for he himself also is compassed with infirmity. And by reason hereof he ought, as for the people, so also for himself to offer for sins. And no man takes this honor upon himself, but he that's called of God as was Aaron, so also Christ glorified not himself, he made an high priest, but he that said to him, thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. The manifestation of the fountain. As they all said in another place, thou art a priest for every after the order of Melchizedek, who in the days of the flesh, when he offer up prayers and supplication with strong crying and tears, and he was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. Though he were a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, completed, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him, called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek. And listen, he was made at that time perfect, completed, but he's not. But at that time, he did not complete every work. Bible says so. We're waiting for a completion today, as it says in Hebrews, they without us cannot be made perfect. Therefore, he's been growing up into him and growing up until the very capstone. The Holy Spirit and the flame of fire is here in our midst to lead us to the millennium. His blood was poured out upon the earth, sanctifying it and preserving it for eternity. And then by the resurrection through the Spirit fills it up with life anew. Brother Branham said, God will create again, not through sex. No, but by divine creation. He will call the ashes, from the ashes the dust and dust. Taking, he said, the calcium, the potash, the cosmic light, and there's cosmic light in us. Don't you think there isn't? Because there is. They just found it. Better think it over, brother, sister. God never made a prophet a scientific man when he made a statement. It was right, though. They'll find every single thing he said was right. There's no mistakes there. Herein we have just seen the fountain of blood cleansing and the fountain of life restoring, blood and water. We note with great satisfaction that not one of these title roles are actually future, but are all in effect, have been effect, and in the last day at his epiphany, we see the greatness of his personal presence and his wondrous works. Consider first his presence, Jehovah Shammah, the Lord present. Who is that? Consider the Lord his righteousness. We are, and we have been declared his righteousness, and we righteous with him, no blame whatever. Consider Jehovah Shalom, our peace, as in 2 Thessalonians 1, 7-10. Consider our sanctification, which is John 17, Jehovah Makadosh, through the sanctifying word. Consider the victory, Jehovah Nisi, even now, is trampling death under his feet, rendering it null and void, bringing his church in order, and right now is working a victory. Consider his healing. The ministry of Jesus Christ returned to earth for a few short years. Consider him a shepherd, the great shepherd of the sheep, come for his sheep and to bring them all forth into resurrection and take us up. Consider his great provision, Jehovah Jireh. What has he failed to provide? There is nothing he hasn't provided. As the great prophet Vindicated said, everything under the seventh seal is there to put us in a rapture. We'll not miss it. And I could go on. You know we don't have time. And as we consider God coming up through the earth, we cannot forget that he came up as the Holy Ghost through the Word in his church, which is earthen vessels fitted unto Almighty God, until we're all restored, as it says in Ephesians 4 and 16, when the capstone himself, and the capstone, remember, is the cornerstone, which is to the Gentile church, which is God in the form of the Holy Ghost, coming to the Apostle Paul, laid upon the foundation that was already there, because there's a continuity between the Old and the New Testament, right from Adam plumb up to the last one coming into the fold. There is no difference. It's capstone time now. And now consider another way which he came up through the flesh, and that's God in the prophets. How the world wants to forget it. How they love to aggrandize themselves in the scripture and say, bless God, Paul was a prophet. Bless God, Isaiah was a prophet. Bless God, this man a prophet. And they don't even know what they said. But hallelujah, they're prophets. Well, does God have a prophet today? Oh, no way. Who said? Tell me where God said it. The same I want to find where God said there's no fivefold ministry. Just so come people say it's not there, does that make it not there? Am I supposed to hide my head in shame when the prophet said, Lee, you and I are just alike? And I could have said, sure, I got a nose like, not quite like yours. I got a nose, two ears, two eyes. What else is new? But I respected the prophet. What do you mean, Brother Banfield? He said, I've got a little gift of healing. Nobody wants it. You got a little gift of teaching. Nobody wants it. So I'm supposed to listen to people now running around, shooting off at the mouth. I'm supposed to listen to the kind old priests that aren't so kind because I mixed with them. Their kindness has licked my feet and denied the word. Their kindness says, don't you dare say a word against what I teach, though they know they're in error. Well, honey, you're looking at the wrong guy. Because I'm as stubborn and proud as they are. Put it down. I'm no whiz kid up here, you know. God in the prophets. God in his word. God in his prophets, God in his word, and God in his people, if they are his people and the word is in them. And remember, the water must be compatible to what's receiving it. And what receives it must be compatible to the gift, or it won't take. As we read the other day concerning fountains in John, if there wasn't word in there in the first place, is because there wasn't a place for the word to be, for the word to attract the word, because he is word. And if we come from him, we are word. And Brother Branham said, the whole thing is word. That's what makes it all. Surely we can see the God of Zoe himself, which is the God of Zoe, life in the flesh and life in the universe. So surely we can see the God of Zoe himself as Zoe and part with us in our Zoe until it is all Zoe and the cosmos of God in the New Jerusalem. You hear what I said? In him was life. In him was life. A sharing of himself to beget and to bring forth. In earthen vessels, and he himself became a part. So that the whole thing is now in perfect manifestation as Zoe. Because nothing unclean, nothing unholy. Therefore, all of God and only of God is there, and even they which bring their glory in, and the Lamb is on the throne, he is visible, and the pillar of fire is above the throne, and that is visible, that is Zoe. That's God's ability to come up through the earth and make it all one, and it definitely is all one. Now listen, we mentioned the fountain of compatibility. What if the water had no use by reason of no need? And when the water was available, what would it be? Well, it would be horrible not to have a true compatibility, of which we've already spoken to a certain degree. Woe's over here in John 1, 10 to 13. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Incompatible. It didn't do any good. But as many as received him. Now, why don't they receive him? Because they can't stand the light. They can't stand that which makes manifest. They said, listen, we don't stone you for a good deed. They're liars. They did. Who are you going to believe? A bunch of hypocrites, you're going to believe Jesus. He said, if I had not done the works that no other man did, they had not sinned. But now they've both seen and hated both me and my Father. Are you going to bring Jesus or a bunch of mealy-mouthed hypocrites called Sadducees and Pharisees and general run of the church? You can believe what you want. As many as received in the name power to become the sons of God, even them which believe on his name, which were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Let's go back to the book of Luke. And let's take a look at it. And the angel said unto her in verse 35, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee. The power of the high shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Right? What if it weren't compatible? Let's go to Ephesians. The first chapter. 3-6. Blessed be the God and Father, Lord Jesus Christ, blessed all spirits, blessed in heavenly places, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. Now, he didn't say, I'm choosing this, and I'm not choosing that. Brother Branham brought that very evident. I'm going to take this and leave that. He never said that. That's at the end of the time. I'm going to take this and leave that. Upon what grounds? If you weren't in him then, Brother Branham said, and didn't have representation then, you don't have it now. So what's he saying? Pardon me, he's quoting from Ephesians. That we should be holy without blame before him, in love having predestined us on the adoption of children by Jesus Christ himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. In other words, the sacrifice of Christ efficacious. Let's go back to Romans. I don't have to read it. 8:28-34, I read it. But let's just quickly go to Galatians instead. The fourth chapter. And watch what it says in 4-6. And when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that are under the law, that he might receive, we might receive the adoption of sons. In other words, there was no way we could possibly manifest by law. We could only manifest through grace. And how do we do it? By receiving the light, that which made manifest. And God was manifest in flesh, the Bible said. They received it back there. We receive it today. And above all, we receive this and we receive that. Knowing that it's vindicated. Now listen, and because you are sons, not that you become sons, but because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. And Brother Branham preached on the basis of that understanding that the dove leads the lamb. The dove does not light upon a wolf because it's got the wrong nature. You say, well, bless God, I'll get the Holy Ghost and I'm thoroughly sanctified. When I can present myself and I'm such a fine creature, somehow by the help I get and somehow by what I give and the Holy Ghost will come. You're crazy. You're spiritually crazy. You're mad. It's because you are sons. And if you're not a son, you ain't going to get it. But that's just as simple as ABC. There is a compatibility. The plant needs it. The water's meant for it. They get together. And it grows what? To maturity. To do what? To reproduce a seed in death. Which means by dying we come forth in a resurrection. And but there's a second death coming on the earth right now, spiritual death. And by grace we escape it. So without dying, we come forth into immortality. It's all very wonderful. Read the 10th chapter of John concerning the sheep. Remember, Jehovah shepherds only sheep and nothing else. In Hebrews 13 and 20, he's called the great shepherd of the sheep. Jehovah dies only for the sheep. In John 10, he tells you, Jehovah and the sheepfold, New Jerusalem, all become one. Thirdly, we mentioned total redemption. Actually, we've been dealing with it for years in Brother Branham's sermons. This is not one, there is not therefore one lost child of God. Let's go back and look at the sheep. We're going to go to John 10. 27 to 30, my sheep know my voice. Hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Listen, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them. And it's the knowing whereby they follow. The water is compatible, and it pours itself on the plant, and the plant responds. Showing it's the same life. But this is a great sustainer, Jehovah, the Redeemer, bringing you out. That's why the book of redemption was opened to us the last day. Jehovah said, can you, our righteousness, our peace, and all of those wonderful attributes. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. What kind of eternal life? Unto Zoe, because he alone can glorify the body. You wouldn't get it, a body like his, if you didn't have a father like his. It's impossible. I'd like to see for 1 minute, any of you people that are procreating, you're young enough to have children, I want you to do one thing. I want you to think very, oh, you wouldn't do it anyway, so it's just going to be a joke. I'd like you to think very seriously before impregnation and during pregnancy. To think I'm going to have a cute little slant-eyed, yellow, Chinese-faced baby. Ain't going to work. Won't work. It's not in the genes. If you're not in the genes of God, brother, sister, you'd never come forth a child of God. That's right. And notice the yellow man's diet is different from ours. I'm not making skin a difference. I'm just telling you it's what's going on genetically, generically. And his isn't like ours. Black, yellow, green, white, I don't care what he's called. He can be born again if he's a child of God. But I'm just trying to tell you something. There's got to be a source. And if the source isn't God, the fountain of life which is manifested, the sustaining virtue of God will not apply. True. God doesn't invite the devil's crowd to come to his house and take over. They're trying it, but it's not going to work. No man can pluck them out of my Father, out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. And so are the children, born in their order. And every single solitary thing that was created by God, for God and His children, will be totally redeemed, as in Isaiah 65, 70 to 25, which we read of just the other night. Now, we're going to start slowing down and closing with number 4. We spoke of the location of the fountain. The fountain was located, when we're speaking now of this fountain, opened to the house of David. The fountain of blood, the fountain of life, which there would not have been a resurrection of any Old Testament saints without this one. This fountain was located in the east. Where is it located today? According to Matthew 24, as the sun rises in the east, so it sets in the west. And the same one that cried, "All you that are thirsty, come unto me and drink," gives the same invitation under the same standard exactly of vindication to let you know that He is here and He is present. And the water of life is available where it was not available at any other time from the time of Adam, where men and women could walk, never having died, to the tree of life and become entirely immortal. Amen. It manifested to Israel in John chapter 14. And at that time, Philip said, "Lord, if we could see the Father, you show us Him somehow. That'll take care of the problem." And Jesus, "I've been so long with you, Philip, you've not known me. He that's seen me has seen the Father. How do you say then, show us the Father?" And listen, "Believest thou not I'm in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, and He is the one doing the works." There it is right there. You want light on the Godhead? You want to know what the truth is? He told you. It's right here. It's manifested that God is in me. And when you're looking at me, you're looking at the Father. And Brother Branham said the same thing. Oh, horrors! Horrors that a man should say, "I'm not looking at William Branham. I'm looking at God." Blasphemy! Blasphemy! Then William Branham blasphemed. And he got away with it. And those who rose against him, some were carried out feet first. You say, "Brother Dave, you better watch your tongue." No, you better watch your language, because you're not speaking God's language. And the same prophet on Son of Man, Son of God, Son of David said, "You better learn to say the right thing or your prayers aren't getting through." And everybody's trying to find about new names, this and everything else. Forget it. He said, "Say the right thing." What about it? What about John 14 and 12 at the end time? "Verily I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater than these, because I go to my Father." Who was talking? Jesus was. The man. Who was making the promise? Not Jesus, the man, but God in him concerning the greater works. Who came down? Just one of these titles, call it what you want. Brother Branham said it's Elohim. He said Jehovah. Jesus Christ in the form of a pillar of fire. Calling it many roles, calling it the judge, said the King is here. Giving it all the titles and roles. And in Luke 17 and 20 says the kingdom of God is in your midst. And you haven't even seen it, you can't recognize it. And the days are going to return of the Son of Man, which it did according to Matthew chapter 4 and chapter 12. We read it so many times, you know what I'm talking about. But here it is right today in the West. The same fountain in the East is here in the West. It cannot bring forth blood, brother, sister. The blood was shed as far as the mercy seat was concerned. But the blood was not applied to the doorpost and the lintel to this hour. And if you're looking for blood on the mercy seat, I'm going to tell you something. You better smarten up, because Brother Branham said it's off the mercy seat. Not that it's not efficacious for those coming in, but for the group, God's family, to get out of here, it's on the doorpost and the lintels. The building is finished. It's time for the building to take its exodus. We're the building of God. It was Prophet, Judge, and Lamb back there. Today it's Prophet Elijah, proving that the king and the judge is here. All the books have been opened. All the trees have been made evident. The fountainhead himself has come down to give water to the thirsty. History has repeated itself, as it says over here in Jeremiah, the second chapter. And I think I got the right verse, I hope so. There's another one in 17, but 2 and 13. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living water, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns, that can hold no water. What's he telling you? Today, the church. Yes, the church out of which the bride came is totally incompatible. Totally incompatible. You know what people are doing? They're doing with the word like the scientists are doing with the genes. Until now, heads of government say, no, you will not take a human sperm and egg and then take one of an ape and put them together and bring forth an ape man. They've got it in their hands to do it. And I believe Brother Branham was talking of that when he said that's when the end will come. They left that. There's no moral values. They even tell me now, which I don't know. I'm not a scientist. I read where they can even take a plant and combine it with the human elements. Is that right? Can they take plant elements and combine them? I don't know. Well, I read about it. Government stepped in. And politicians cannot make a right decision. It's all over. They're hewing out cisterns. A church system. And they're smart enough to know that God's got to work by a man. You think the Catholic Church didn't know that in the beginning? Do you think in Rome, when Junius and Junia was there, they didn't know that? That God had a Pope, a vicar of Christ, called Paul? But they changed it to Peter. We don't know Peter ever being in Rome. But they knew there was a vicar. And they said, we're going to set up our vicars. And the churches are setting up their organizations. See that pillar of fire, that picture taken? That's what you better look to. So I don't think I can do that superstition. Call it superstition. You say, Brother Dale, aren't you all torn up? Why should I be? God's already pronounced judgment. It's not my business what you do. The herald does not come riding from the king. Knock on the door of the earls and the princes and the dukes and what have you. And force them. When he reads the edict, he runs on his galloping, prancing horse. He runs up to the gates, knocks on the gate. They open the gates. He comes in. He reads his edict and says, do what you want. Walks and goes on. The ambassador does not force a nation to which he's the ambassador to listen. He simply says what the head of government and the people require, or would like to require from those people. He lays it down and he walks up. You don't have to be anybody. You couldn't anyway if you're not compatible. If you're not a child of God from way back in eternity, it would never work. And you must devise your own system. Who wants that? Let's turn to the book of Psalms 36, from which Brother Branham read. And we're going to close. The transgression of the wicked saith, within my heart there is no fear of God before his eyes. For he flattered himself in his own eyes until his iniquity be found to be hateful. The words of his mouth are iniquity and deceit. He hath left off to be wise and do no good. He deviseth mischief upon his bed. He sets himself in ways that is not good. He abhorreth not evil. Thy mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens, and thy faithfulness reaches unto the clouds. Thy righteousness is like the great mountains. Thy judgment are deep, O Lord, thou preservest man and beast. Talking about the river right now, something in there, see? How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house, and thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasures. For with thee is the fountain of life, and in thy light we shall see light. In other words, when manifestation comes, we'll understand it. And say, I'm a part of that river. A fountain bringing light? Oh, yeah. The Holy Ghost manifesting God in vessels? Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. But always the people who turn it down said, who does he think he is anyway? I've got God too, bless God. Argue with death, brother, sister. It's going to come one day. Argue with it. The grave never says, we've had enough. The fire never says, we've had enough. Argue with death, and you will run from a lion to be smitten by a bear. You will take your hand off the wall in case you are bitten by a scorpion, only to have an adder come down and destroy you. Where is the light? Where is the water? Where is the fountain? Where is the sustainer? Yes, a God sustaining now who will take some of you by the grace of God, and you will not see death. That's a promise. The fount of every blessing is here. And men pass by still thirsting, dying of thirst, and as usual, have missed the day of their visitation. The saddest of all sad words ever penned, the saddest are these, it might have been. How could it might have been if it weren't possible to have been? Right? The saddest of all words of tongue and pen. I could have believed. I could have cast aside with the help of God, he already having made my brains mush. I don't need to use them. My body is mush. Decaying while we stand on earth. We've allowed the homosexual in the pulpit. Not this one. The fornicators, the liars. Where are the people that sigh and cry over sin? They haven't got as far as righteous Lot yet. Well, I'm going to tell you, if we're not bride, there's a bride out there somewhere. There's got to be. Who answered back? Say, Brother Vail, you got something with the picture? No. No. I got something with what manifested itself and thereby had a picture. And that became light. To what? The light, which is the word, the truth. Now read the 119th Psalm when you go home sometime by yourself. Remember what you heard this morning in the fountain. Message. Number 3. The great manifestation of the great manifester himself. In this hour, That's right. Remember that as you apply every word that God said. And you know what happens? It'll open up to you. That's why people who say they follow Brother Branham haven't got a clue to what's being said. They're like Banks Wood said. You say he's God to the Dee Dee Bunch? He said, well, it sure hasn't rubbed off on you, has it? You say, William Branham, vindicated prophet of God, absolutely, irrevocably, such a prophet who has a ministry that's vindicated, speaking nothing but the truth. Thus saith the Lord, right? Because one man said to Joe, trouble you is, Joe, you make Brother Branham equal with this. No, he said, that's for sure. That's right. What do you, in other words, Mr. L.R., Reverend Puffed Up, so-called apostle by your own naming, what right have you got to even handle this message if you can't believe it? You mean to tell me God's changed and he can't raise up a Paul or anybody he wants to raise up? If he can't, then how is he going to raise you from the dead if you die or change you if you're living? Vindication. The fountain that proved what lay beneath in the vastness of an ocean which none could fathom, yet that ocean speaking out through the fountain took us right to the gates of the New Jerusalem, pointed from time into eternity, standing before the white throne and passing beyond it. Can you believe that this morning, brother, sister? That's the truth. Let's rise and be dismayed. Our Father and our God, we ask you again, Lord, as we close this service, to be with us, to go with us. And as that great fountain, which you are, bubbling forth, giving us continuous assurance and help to mature, to come to the place of the firstborn, first fruit, right into the holy city. Having absolutely manifested, which in itself is light, to bring us to the light, so this is the truth. God, I hope and trust that every single one here is one of those plants that is receiving the fountain today pouring upon us. As little children happily splashing and enjoying the height to which this fountain has risen, which it has not risen previously, to see it's taking us right into immortality and beyond. Now, Lord, I can't ask you today to quicken this beyond the hour of which is ordained, the second, perhaps. But I am asking you, Lord, to quicken to this second everything that can be quickened to it in us people here as vessels, trusting we're compatible. Lord, if we weren't, why would we cry for what he brought us, your anointed prophet? Why would we want it? Why would we stand by? For Lord, you know our hearts. That we've come in a measure, and I hope all the way to where the apostles were when they said, live or die, sink or swim. You alone have the words of eternal life. We're satisfied. If this isn't it, then what's there to it? And Lord, you answered back on the day of Pentecost. And you've been answering back ever since. Until today, you're answering back one more time in your presence today with the blood allowing your holy presence and a people having left Babylon to go into immortality. I know that's the truth, Lord. And I don't want to say, even though I admit we have to say it with the prophet, if we're not bride, there's a bride out there somewhere. But Lord, today, by your grace, and by virtue of having come thus far, do you mind, Lord, if we say we are bride? And it will be proven that we are the ones that you loved, and very shortly so. That we in ourselves do not claim any lovability, either in ourselves or that people should see it. But we do claim, Lord, a treasure in this earthen vessel that is of you. And you're coming, as you said in Malachi, to take your jewels. And we're counting ourselves as part of it. No matter how we feel, we're going right back to the principle, hopefully, Lord, of the brain is a mush. Why are we going to depend on it? It ain't going to work anyway, Lord. We're going to depend on the light which has led us to the light. We will, Lord, by your help and grace, we will. Until that becomes the total strength. Heal the sick amongst us, Lord, we pray, because we know they're sick. You know, Lord, we cry daily for the little children, especially in this time. And you said in this hour, Lord, that 1,000 could fall at the left hand, 10,000 the right hand. And it shouldn't come nigh us. We're claiming the blood, Lord, for the firstborn in this church. You have the little babies, little children. We're claiming sanctuary for every single one. Not one going to miss it. Not one, Lord, going to miss the healing blessing, the strength, the power and authority in this last hour to walk to the tree of life. Going all the way. Thank you for it, Lord. Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be all power and honor and glory through Jesus Christ, our blessed Savior. Amen. Take the name of Jesus with